It's Tuesday, October 27th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a part of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, folks, I'm back in Honolulu. A lot to tell you here, and I'm glad to be home, to be quite honest with you. A little bit jet lag going on, but I got a great show lined up for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Well, I tell you folks, after nearly a month of being away from home and expecting to have been gone this week, it is great to be back in home, back in Honolulu. You know, this has been kind of crazy. You guys know the last show, I was in Florida. Actually did two shows down in the Orlando, Jacksonville area. And then I flew home on Friday, and there was some speculation Friday during the day whether or not my meetings were going to happen this week in Silicon Valley. So I had planned, you know, tickets were bought, hotels reserved to go to Silicon Valley, fly out Sunday night, get in Monday morning, start meetings on Tuesday. And so everything went good. I flew out of here Sunday night, got into Silicon Valley on Monday morning, checked in the hotel, took 3 hours worth of a nap. Woke up and I had a text message. Meetings are canceled. Sorry for the late notice. You know, people forget that flying from Hawaii, everything is a night flight. And man, talk about sucked. So anyway, yesterday I did do some business yesterday afternoon. Actually, this morning as well, flew out of San Francisco at about 2 o'clock and got in here at Honolulu about 4 and took care of some stuff with the kids and the family and got ready to do the show. And, of course, here we are live in Honolulu. So I'm glad to be home. It's humid as heck here. I don't know what the story is. No trade winds. It was that way over the weekend as well. But I feel like a ping pong ball. I just don't quite know where I'm at. Glad to be home and hopefully going to be here for a couple of weeks at the very minimum. But I got a great show lined up for you tonight. And, of course, I want to welcome all of the new listeners to the show. Hey, if you're new to the podcast, hey, this show normally gets recorded on Mondays and Thursdays. But I was so irritated, I guess you would say, last night that I decided to just say, wait, I'm going to go ahead and do the show when I get home on Tuesday. So if you're normally wanting to watch the live video stream, it's normally about this time, Mondays and Thursdays. Of course, we'll be up live on Thursday. I got a special show for you Thursday. It'll be our Halloween show. We'll be telling a few UFO stories. We'll be talking about the Blue Man. So it should be a lot of fun. For those of you that have never heard those stories, you'll definitely want to check the show out on Thursday. And it'll be a great show. But welcome to the new listeners of the show. Definitely go over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all of the longtime listeners of the show. And, of course, we want to welcome listeners from 160 countries worldwide right now. So thanks for all of you for tuning in. Make sure you get signed up for our newsletter. That'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The show notes contain everything that I talk about during the podcast, so that if you have a submission, feel free to send something in to us. You can send it to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can try our voicemail hotline at +1 619 342 7365. That's the number to call. and haven't got any ghost story submissions yet or UFO stories yet. So I'm looking for ghost and UFO stories for the Thursday night show. You just have a couple of days now. So again, 1-619-342-7365. Big survey still going on. So I have the link up in the show notes. Those of you that have already participated on one of your favorite podcasts, if you've gotten the word from them, thanks for that participation. If you're listening to this show and you have not yet completed the listener survey, we're doing a nationwide survey in conjunction with Association for Downloadable Media. It's an organization that my company belongs to, and we want you to get out there and take that survey for us. That'll help us essentially get a national feel of what the podcast audience is doing nationwide. So again, you'll see the link in the show notes. Definitely get over there and fill that out. Take it less than 10 minutes, I guarantee. Hey, I'm hiring writers again, okay? So I'm looking for at least three writers right now that are willing to contribute content at the Geek News Central website. In the past, I've gotten some emails from some folks that I didn't follow up on. So if you've sent me an email in the past and you're interested in writing at Geek News Central, this is a hired position. Definitely drop me an email and let me know that you're still interested, and I'll get back with you right away. But I'm looking for three new writers at geeknewscentral.com, trying to keep the content flowing over there. I don't have all the time in the world to post, so we definitely want some additional people contributing to the website as much as possible. So today I had heard some news, and we'll talk about it a little later in the show, about the Roku. And I don't know if I shared this with you from Blog World, but really Roku and was kind of a center of discussion about content. And I guess I want all of you to kind of weigh in on this as well. And I want to talk about this before I get into the tech portion of the show tonight. Do you feel that it is still too hard to consume a podcast? Do you feel it's too hard to go over to iTunes and subscribe to a show? Do you feel it's too hard to get into Zune Marketplace and get it automatically synced to your Zune? Do you feel if you have a non-Apple or Microsoft MP3 players, it's too hard to get those shows downloaded that you subscribe to? Is it too hard to do on the iPhone? I know those of you that are BlackBerry users and also on Android have some great apps that basically will download your podcast in the background, unlike the iPhone. Everything has to be running and up. You can't do anything while it's downloading your shows. So I think that's been kind of a sticking point. But there was some discussion at the Blog World and New Media Expo. The devices like the Roku are the next generation of where you're going to be consuming a new media. And essentially, you'll be able to go on Roku, and like this show here will be archived as video. And while we haven't specifically put out a video MP4 or M4V of this show, we've always put up whatever's created at Ustream. I am now, for the very first time, considering actually archiving the video. I do record it with the TriCaster. It gets recorded here as the show's going on. Then I have to just basically compress it into a media format that can be consumed. But then it usually ends up with a pretty big file. I have to do some compression stuff. And really, the MP3 file takes me, 15 minutes to process. A video file takes much longer. But there's some consternation with some media creators, specifically Leo Laporte, that says that it's still too hard for people to consume podcasts, that people are confused by it and they don't understand RSS. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do understand that the availability of being able to go to your DVR or a Roku box or whatever you may be using, your PlayStation, and being able to consume media from this show, Revision 3, from Twit, all these different sites that create video along with their audio portion, maybe. And I think it's really this studio, why you guys want to watch me on a TV for an hour and 15 minutes, I would have no idea. But that seems to be the going thing. Everyone thinks that video has to, there has to be a video component to content. Well, I think video is good for some shows, and while I have tried to work video into the content here, I don't know if it's all that compelling to sit and watch. I know some of you do on Ustream as you're doing right now, but it is a good question to be asked. And 99.999999% of this audience consumes this show, you know, via the audio file that goes up and that you download and you consume on your portable media devices. Whether you're driving to work or sitting in your cubicle, whatever it may be, at the gym, wherever you're consuming the content, you're consuming it in a non-interfere basis with whatever you're doing. Because video, we only have so many CPU cycles a day to watch video. So, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, I'm on the fence here on this. But I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on this. I did order a Roku today. I'm going to be playing around with it and see how compelling it is. They have a new offering. We'll talk about that at the end of the show, or in midway through the show, about their new devices. But love to hear you guys' feedback on that specifically. +1-619-342-7365. That's the voicemail hotline. Of course, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. What's on my other list here? Hey, I'm looking for someone that has some experience with the Flash Media Server. I've got some ideas, and I think with the cloud computing getting to the point where it is, I'm wondering if anyone out there in this listening audience has experience with Flash Media Server, has done any sites that essentially allows for encoding a video. I'd love to hear from you if you have done any of that type of work. You can, again, can just contact me at our normal email address here and let me know that you have. I'd love to talk with you, pick your brain a little bit, even pay you for your time. So if you have Flash Media Server experience, drop me a note. And I'd like to connect with you as soon as I can. Hey, check out the free magazine offers on the website, of course. There's a few there available for you, maybe of interest or not. But, of course, I want to take a moment here and thank our sponsors of the show, GoDaddy.com. Really, if you're looking for a domain name, a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, an SSL certificate, hey, GoDaddy is the place to get that. Any of your online needs can be really taken care of at GoDaddy. And you really, when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget me. Okay, because I've got some great discounts for you via our promo codes. You can find the promo codes on a link on the website. Within the second column of the website, you'll see GoDaddy promo code. Just click on that, and that'll give you a list of all of them. But, you know, the good ones to save you some money is Geek5. That'll save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will save you money on .coms and .com renewals. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And, of course, the code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Plus, there's a whole assortment of other codes there depending on how much money you've spent and so forth. So check those codes out. Share them with your friends. Blog that link. Because I definitely need the link love back into that specific space. If you want to give me some link love here for the show, I definitely would appreciate it. Share those codes with everyone you know. Helps me keep the lights on. Hey, if you haven't yet, get over to techpodcast.com. Click on the blog link and watch the video that Andy McCaskey and Jeffrey Powers did about the 10th of October. It was a roundtable session, and we're a little late getting that video up, but there's some great content in there, folks. It really is. And of course, that was hosted by GoToMeeting. Now, a week from Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but a week from Saturday, we're going to be having another roundtable event. I think during this roundtable, I'm going to do a detailed walkthrough of the PowerPress plugin, talk about all the features, go into a great detail for basically to get everyone that is needing a little help on that. We'll do that. Andy's going to bring in a vendor, and I don't know what Jeffrey's got lined up, but you definitely want to set your calendars for a week for Saturday for 1 p.m. Pacific. 4 p.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern for our live roundtable, of course, hosted by GoToMeeting. Now, you know, you may have business contacts in L.A. You may have business contacts in New York. And this week, I should have used GoToMeeting to go to the non-meeting. You know, you'd like to meet with them person to person more often, but traveling is expensive and, as I've just found out, very time-consuming. That's why I want you to don't make the same mistake I did over the last couple of days and use GoToMeeting to hold an online meeting. Brought to you by Citrix, GoToMeeting is the easiest online meeting service available. Everyone simply logs on to GoToMeeting.com and they can see your computer desktop on their computer screen. So it's just like meeting in person. You can have unlimited meetings for one flat rate. Our listeners of this show can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited meetings free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Again, that's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting being for a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. All right, let me share. I get through my notes here, make sure I've gotten everything knocked out. Yep, survey, hiring writers, talk a little about the Roku, the travel snafu, the Flash Media Server, and I think I've got everything wrapped up here on just chit-chat items and to get into the regular content. I do have some emails and voicemails to get through, actually some folks had called in the voicemail hotline at the end of the show. Hey, if you're going to be calling into the hotline and you don't want me to put your comments on the air, you need to very specifically say at the beginning, Todd, please do not put this on the air, okay? Because I've been getting a lot of calls, and they almost tonight, almost three calls, almost made it into the show because I don't normally review the calls before I play the start the show. It just I try not to do that. I try to come into them cold. But I did review the first 10 seconds of them tonight, and three of them were definitely not show appropriate. So I'm going to start doing that more, checking them. So please say right in the very, very beginning of your call that it's not for the show if it isn't to be aired live or as live as it can be. You know, I've read Mark Cantor's website for a very, very long time. And he writes in a very, I guess, when he writes a blog post, it's like 1,000 words with 100 links in it. And generally, he's all over the place. Although he comes up with great stuff, I don't normally link directly to or talk about his particular articles. But he wrote an article today that I found pretty compelling. The title on it is Adobe is Dead. And his reasoning is that Avery, AVIARY.com, is a service being led by Jeff Bezos. And he's leading a B round of investors on this specific website. And Mark's thing seems to think that this particular product is exactly what Adobe's online offering should be. And I went over there and took a look at it before the show. And I'm going to say they're doing a pretty good job over there of introducing a lot of stuff that you would expect to come from Adobe. And, you know, if you look at Photoshop.com, you know, I agree with Mark in that it is really a pathetic site for one of the most powerful, you know, you got the Photoshop program that is invariably the most powerful video editing app. Now, the Mac users may disagree. Of course, you guys can get Photoshop for Mac, but I think all of us will agree that Photoshop is one of the most powerful image editing applications in the space today. But if you go to Photoshop.com, it's really, there's no comparison. It's not even close. So with the folks at Avery are doing, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, AVIARY.com is pretty impressive. And we'll see what happens in the next few years here with this product offering. But I think they're going to give Adobe a run for the money online. And what's going to happen when we're all going to be able to start editing videos online? I was talking with Angelo about this today. And we're talking about Amazon and EC2. And, of course, Angelo's our CIO at Raw Voice. He's our lead developer. And the brains behind all of our websites and the programming that goes with it. But we were talking about we're rolling some of our services onto Amazon EC2 instances. Basically, the Blueberry site needs a bigger, fatter, more girthy server. It just needs to have more power underneath the hood. And so we're moving the Blueberry site over onto EC2. To do some of the get that heavy lifting going so that we can maintain a growth on that website and the performance that needs to be there on our publishing side for those podcasters that are hosting with us as well. So I was talking to him about this whole, you know, online computing, the cloud computing, reliability of it, because that's a big concern of ours to make sure that, you know, Amazon EC2 from time to time goes down, and I want to make sure we'd have a backup server that could take over in case they went down, just like we do now. And, you know, I started saying, you know, boy, I tell you, it'd be great if I could buy one of these big instances. And they have some pretty huge ones now that are like 30, the equivalent of like 36 processors and 60 some gigs of RAM. And it costs you like, how much is it? $2.40 an hour, something like that, to run one of those big, huge instances. And basically, you can turn these things on and turn them off. And I said, man, I said, the biggest problem I have, like when we're shooting video at CES, is basically all the doggone time that we're spending processing video. I said, if I could run a Windows instance in one of those boxes and harness all that power and load a video editing suite onto that, basically we could do all the video editing in the cloud with, you know, the only complication then is you got to have a big fat pipe to get that video pushed up there initially that you work with. So there are some trade-offs, and we're talking about that and speed that you would need and the file sizes and upload times as comparison to how much time it would actually take to compress on a local machine. And I think if we ever get to the point where upload speeds get to the point where we can push, let's say if I'm shooting an HD interview and that interview is 3 or 4 minutes long, that's probably a gig. That's probably a gig file size that once I get it uploaded and get it compressed and put on the web, it's maybe down to 60 or 70 megs. And so relatively easy to download. But how long does it take normally to push a gig? If I started pushing a gig here in Honolulu, it'd probably take me 4 hours to push a gig of data up, maybe more. And so that is the challenge. If we could get the upload speeds up, we could start using some of these online cloud services. I could turn an instance on. Boom, I could do almost all my editing locally, upload whatever needs to be uploaded, and then do the compression on the online site. That's just a huge, huge time saver by able to harness all that, basically all that CPU power. And so we'll see what happens with this. I don't think it's going to happen. It's not going to be perfect anytime soon, but I could see in the near future where we will be doing a lot of editing in the cloud, because we'll be able to rent instances of servers for a short period of time that will be more, essentially have more power than anything we could ever afford to buy on our own, and essentially having a supercomputer do it. So the only challenge is if you're trying to do, you know, time-sensitive stuff, is the upload time of the raw video footage. So anyway, we'll have to work on mitigation on that, but pretty cool. Now, speaking of video editing tools, Robin Good over at masternewmedia.org has a publishing of free video editing tools that he has outlined here, a number of them. And a lot of these I have never heard of before. There's a variety of Windows and Mac applications here. So I think the Mac on its own, you know, is pretty well covered. And the Windows, you know, they have their offering as well. But if you're looking for some more editing tools that are free, this is a great list. I'll have the link up in the show notes. And they got a review on each one of these applications and the differences and, you know, what one offers that another one doesn't, and which ones will actually encode in Flash as well. So link, of course, will be in the show notes tonight. You definitely want to check that out. News out of Yahoo today is that Yahoo is going to launch a real-time search. Now, we already talked a little bit about Bing and their real-time search of Twitter. I played around with the Bing real-time search yesterday when I had some downtime, and I wasn't too impressed. I was basically going on the Twitter site and searching Twitter, and then I was going to Bing and searching Bing, and there's lots of holes. It's by far, not even close to being real good. Now Yahoo said they're going to launch real time search as well. When that's going to happen, I don't know. Obviously, Microsoft and Google have announced that they're going to be doing this, so we'll see what happens with the folks over at Yahoo. And I believe that they have a partner called OneRiot, And One Riot is going to be the site in which they're going to launch the real-time search. So I haven't been over to OneRiot.com. If any of you have, love to hear your guys' feedback on it. But anyway, we'll see what happens with Yahoo tries to get in the game here. Of course, big news yesterday was that Apple is supposedly shopping a tablet around in Australia. Now, whether or not this is true is yet to be seen. But why they would go to Australia first, I don't know. But rumors are that they're working with the New York Times to bring content to it, and they're looking for Australia creators, or actually media creators, to provide content for it. So it sounds like it's going to be a completely interactive device. Only time is going to tell here on what's going to happen with Apple. Apple's come out and said there's no new products through the end of the year, and it kind of surprises me that that they would wait until after Christmas. But they're not going to Macworld, so are they going to have just another separate event? Are they going to go to CES and announce something at CES? Only time will tell. This tablet rumor, you say tablet around the Mac users, and they start frothing at the mouth. It just seems to be this ongoing fascination with them wanting a tablet. And I don't know. We'll see. Now, you know, just recently, I keep hearing about folks that are having lots of hardware issues with their Macs. Have any of you been running into any of that, specifically the 15-inch notebook? Have any of you had problems with the 15-inch? I mean, I'm hearing people having hard drive failures, motherboard failures, all kinds of issues with their 15-inch Macs. It's actually made a couple of new sites. Any of the Ohana out here, any trouble with their 15-inch Macs? Love to hear from you if you have, if you've had to send it back, get it replaced, and so forth. Get a little note here. No, I'll restart Firefox later. So, are you having troubles? If you are, I'd love to hear what your problems are, if you've blown a hard drive or not. But a lot of prominent people posting on their blogs are not real happy with the quality control coming out of Apple recently. So I don't know if this is just if it's focused on this 15-inch line or not, but that's kind of what I've been hearing. So anyway, we'll see if Apple comes out with a tablet irregardless. All right, you know, geeks are geeks. Anytime you see something built into a briefcase, any type of electronics that's stuffed in a briefcase, you know, okay, you know, your geek's heart starts pounding a little bit and you want to see this. Well, one of Sun Microsystems, you know, Sun Microsystems in the past have shipped mobile centers in containers. It's a lot of things that Google's been doing as well. They have all their mobile centers, or actually all the data centers, in a container. But just think about a data center in a briefcase. One of Dell's, he's a Dell director. They don't say if he's actually got no other title except he's a Dell director. He's been hacking away, putting building a data center into a briefcase. And when you see this YouTube video, I swear, the geeks out there, y'all going to want one of these. If nothing else, just to be able to have bragging rights when you open it up and show it to your geek friends. But I must say that the geek spirit is still alive and well. And practical use of this is probably very limited, but it's just the coolness factor that he was able to do it and actually build a pretty powerful briefcase data center. So I can see now where you go to an event and each of your friends carries in their own data center briefcase, and you plug them in and you have this big network with huge amounts of storage and speed and processing power and so forth. But I think you guys will get a kick out of the video. I have the link up in the show notes. All right, EFF, I haven't heard a lot about stuff going on with the EFF lately. I used to talk about them a lot in the show, but they've opened what they're calling their Takedown Hall of Shame. Now, we all know that the DMCA has created the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, has resulted in literally hundreds of thousands of takedown notices by companies that are trying to get content removed off YouTube and other websites. And many times those takedown notices are in error. So the EFF has launched their Takedown Hall of Shame, which is highlighting bogus copyright and trademark campaigns from a variety of companies. They've specifically have gone after NPR, De Beers, who is the diamond manufacturer, or the diamond cartel, I guess you should say, a Warner Music Group, organizations such as the National Organization for Marriage, and a variety of other websites, MSNBC, The Rachel Maddow Show, some stuff from Perez Hilton. So all kinds of DMC takedown notices that ended up being invalid. And so they've got this nice hall of shame. I have a link up to it. I think you guys will get a kick out of it. It just goes to show you that the ongoing abuse of the DMCA continues to flourish, and probably is the one of the worst components of the entire DMCA act itself. So anyway, have this link up in the show notes for you. Let's talk a little bit about the Roku, R-O-K-U, www.roku.com. They've come out with two new devices. They've got an SD-only box for $80. And they've got a higher-end device for $130. Now, looking at the two devices, now, those of you that don't know what a Roku is a box that sits on your entertainment center. And if you buy the $130 option, you get some advanced Wi-Fi, some better Wi-Fi connectivity with it. It's got a better algorithm or something. I don't know exactly what they've improved, but anyway, it's got an HDMI output, it's got RGB plugs and so forth. But the Roku box, really, if you're a Netflix subscriber or if you want to consume content through the Roku, they've got Major League Baseball, they got Amazon Video on Demand, a large number of video channels that you can watch via this box. So it's $130 for the high-end HDXR. And it's the new device is pretty similar to the original Roku digital video player, which is now branded as the Roku HD. So the HDXR can stream SD and HD content and comes again with a full array of ports, including composite S video components and HDMI ports. And what I found when I was doing the actual checkout today after buying the device was they offer an HDMI cable, RGB cables, what else do they offer? A whole cable assembly for $19. So we always need cables, and you know these companies always try to rip us off on HDMI cables. Pick up the cable package for $19. It's a great offering, and you definitely will need the right cables to hook it up to your entertainment system. And I don't know about you, but I'm out of HDMI plugs on my big screen, so it's about time for an HDMI switch box, which I'm sure my lovely wife will love because it'll just be another box that's going to have to sit there. But this is their new offering for the holiday period. I'll get one. I'll let you know how I like it. Those of you that are Roku users already, you may want to consider an upgrade and put your old box on eBay. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but the folks over at Ars Technica have a pretty good article talking about cyber attacks and how it's starting to really affect not only U.S. government sites, but also a lot of other countries are starting to run into considerable attacks on their infrastructure. And, you know, there's this ongoing debate now on at what point will these attacks get more critical and start bringing down major infrastructure in the United States. So pretty good article here. I have this link up in the show notes for those of you that are interested in reading on that. Let's talk a little bit about scareware and some advertising that's going on a variety of different websites. If you are over at Gawker and on some of their sites, you may have run into a pop-up from an ad that was running on their website, and is specifically on Gizmodo. If you're on Gizmodo, what they were doing is they were last week, they were delivering advertisements laced with a malware, and I need to shut my Skype connection down because someone is trying to dial in, and yes, I want to quit Skype. So the Gizmodo folks admit that they were tricked into running an advertisement from supposedly Suzuki, And there actually is a full email excerpt of the conversation that went on with the Gawker Media folks and the supposed $25,000 advertising spend. It was a complete fake job. It was just a bunch of hackers that basically scammed these folks into running some ads on their website that turned into have scareware, which if it launched, basically told you, hey, you got a virus, you need to install this software, which would have turned out to be malware. So if you visited Gizmodo last week and ran into any of those ads and acted upon it, sorry, your machines may be infected. Don't blame me. Blame the folks at Gizmodo. But link will be in the show notes to give you some ideas on what you can do to protect yourself. You guys all know this has happened a couple of times. Be careful out there. You know, those pop-up ads, when you see those pop up like that, say, hey, you got a security alert. You know, the best thing to do is just immediately kill Firefox or Internet Explorer. And the way I do that, if I see one of those pop up, is to do a Control-Alt-Delete, open Task Manager, and I specifically shut down the Firefox instant in the taskbar. Now, you can do the same thing in Finder in the Mac, and basically you can find a task and shut it down, and probably won't see that on the Mac. You may or may not, but I don't even click anything on the box whatsoever. I just kill the entire the browser completely. And you have to be careful because if there's a pop-up that's come up, there could be two instances of the browser actually running. So make sure you shut them both down and then restart the browser. That warning should go away. Don't go back to the website and be careful. All right, BBC and, of course, NASA announced today that the NASA rocket postponed by launch. As we all know, the Ares 1-X rocket is ready to go on its maiden flight, minus a second stage rocket. They're going to try again Wednesday morning between 0800 and 1200 Eastern Daylight Time on both the 28th and 29th. So if the weather's good tomorrow morning or Thursday, they're going to punch this baby. Now, sadly, I'm going to be in bed when this thing goes up, so I'm going to have to watch the replay. I'm pretty excited to see this launch. I know a lot of people are as well. A lot of folks are really waiting to see how the performance of this is and if it meets all expectations. But again, tomorrow morning, Wednesday at 0800 and 12, between 08 and 12 Eastern, in other words, 8 a.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern, or 12 p.m. Eastern. All right, let's talk a little bit about the gentleman that has been fighting extradition to the United States for months now. It's being reported by the BBC that Home Secretary Alan Johnson has said that he will study new medical evidence be proving the extradition of the U.S. computer hacker Gary McKinnon, and he has said he has stopped the clock in proceedings to give Mr. McKinnon's lawyer time to appeal in Europe. So, again, here we go. This guy is fighting with all his might to stay out of the United States. Apparently, the 43-year-old has what's called Asperger's syndrome. I have no idea what that is. He initially was denied an appeal at the UK Supreme Court. So, I guess someone is actually, the Home Secretary is standing in his defense to keep him from being extradited. I don't think this kid is ever going to, or this gentleman is ever going to see a courtroom in the United States the way this has been going on. Okay, big news out of Microsoft. And Microsoft, I guess, was a little bit surprised about some of the content that's been on The Family Guy. Now, I personally don't watch The Family Guy, but I know that The Family Guy can be a bit controversial at times because the comedy that they put forth, can be disparaging at times. And they've even accused The Family Guy of having some racial type of commentary from time to time as well. So I guess Microsoft got wet feet and have canceled the 30-minute commercial-free variety show The Family Guy that was going to be used to promote Windows 7 It was supposed to air on November 8th. I guess enough people complained that they decided not to do it. So I would have watched it if they would have actually went through. But Microsoft has gotten cold feet and has called it off. All right, Firefox users, and those of you that aren't Firefox users, hey, Firefox has gained 30 million users in 8 weeks. So this is huge. Another big gain by the Mozilla Foundation. So 30 million new users over the past 8 weeks as it continues to gain on the Internet Explorer base. And, you know, one thing that I've noticed is since I've been using Chrome to actually do the show and actually set up the tabs, I will give Chrome credit where credit is deserving. It is much better. So tonight I've probably got 25 tabs open for the show. It has a much smaller memory footprint than Firefox does with this many tabs. My fan would be like screaming on the machine down here if I was using Firefox. So I think Firefox, folks, the only thing I could really complain about right now is it's still so memory intensive at times. Of course, you know, if you're only using one or two tabs, it shouldn't matter. All right, here's a question for all of you. The folks at Paramount are betting big on web serials, in other words, web-based TV serials. I guess they're going to be doing the show's called The Circle of Eight, and it's a web-based show from Paramount Digital Entertainment, and how many actual episodes are they going to do? They don't say, but they're betting big here that all of us are going to go watch this. Now, I think that the majority of us, unless you're into this type of specific show, will probably not watch this. But what do you guys think? Do you think that this is the future where big name companies like Paramount put a series of shows on the internet, or a show with multiple episodes on the web? Would you tune into the web to watch this? Is this the future? Are we going to move away from TV? That's the question. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you guys think you're going to watch this web series, or would you watch something similar? That if it interests you, would you actually take the time and watch on the web? And I think many times, you know, at least in my household, when we have a little time to watch TV, I mean, I tell you, with kids that are 13, 12, and 6, there is not much time for any TV. They're pretty busy and doing all their activities. And maybe on a Friday or Saturday night, we watch a movie, but the rest of the time is either spent practicing their musical instruments or doing research papers for school, you name it. There's not a lot of TV time, but when we do watch, it's usually as a group. And I don't find myself watching videos specifically for long periods of time on the net. So I'm kind of curious, are you? And do you think this is the wave of the future? I don't know. I guess time will tell on this one. Okay, let me go ahead here and move into the next article. And let's try this for a second. I'm going to zoom the camera in. Hey, Extreme Tech, my folks, good friends over at extremetech.com, have 12 must-know Windows 7 shortcuts. So, hey, got my copies of Windows 7. They FedEx delivered them today. And my wife was like, what is that? What did you order now? And I said, oh, it's Windows 7. She goes, oh, already? It's out? And she's, is it going on my computer? She is actually excited. And I'm like, nope, it's not. Gives me the look. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll have to order another copy. So I'll get two of the machines updated here at least. Probably one of them is going to have to be hers, the way she gave me stink eye. She continues to go back and forth between her Mac and her PC. So she hasn't switched, but she uses both machines. It's kind of weird. She watches videos online, actually her internet TV on her Mac, yet she does all her email and word processing and stuff on a PC. So I don't know. I've got Windows Microsoft Word loaded on the Mac, so I don't know why it's that way, but that's what she does. So anyway, 12 must know Windows 7 shortcuts. I have a link up in the show notes for you. All right, if you are a Los Angeles employee, stand by because your email is going to be switching to Google Apps. The Los Angeles City Council voted Tuesday to start using email services from Google, and a spokesman for the city said that Google beat out Microsoft in bidding for the $7.25 million email contract, which covers roughly 30,000 employees, and this will be one of the bigger companies or bigger municipalities to actually switch over to Google email. And this is let's put a hammer on Microsoft. They're going to have to start getting a little more aggressive. All right, we talked a number of times on the show already about what happens when someone dies. How do we actually maintain their content online? And today, I'd be honest with you, I said no, because Facebook has announced that they're going to allow people to memorialize dead with a new feature on Facebook called Reconnect. You know, I don't know how long Facebook's going to be around. You know, let's say they're going to be around for a while, but it's just a thing, right? Someday in the future, probably in the near future, something will come around that will distract people and Facebook will lose some of its luster just as MySpace has lost much of its luster. So if you have a departed one that you want to honor, why would you put content behind the firewall of Facebook in their vertical controlled, sandbox as a way to memorialize your loved one? I am not going to use Facebook for that. I am not. No way, no how. They go on to say, as time passes, the sting of losing someone you care about also fades, but it never goes away. I still visit my friend's memorialized profile to remember the good times we had and share them with our mutual friends. Gag. You know, I'm sorry. While the statement is true, I'm not putting my dad's data on Facebook. It just doesn't make sense. It really, really doesn't. What do you guys think? You guys going to put your, you know, memorialize your departed ones on Facebook? I just don't think that makes sense. It's better. You know, that's why we need some company that we can trust. No company you can trust these days, but at some point, we need to have some way to take all this content we have and archive it and make it available to our grandchildren. I just don't know what the answer to that is. Someone, again, I'm going to say, is going to get filthy rich if they figure that up. All right. When I logged into Facebook tonight, I hadn't been on in probably a week. Facebook has revamped their homepage with news feed format, and I really didn't kind of notice what they were doing. I didn't pay attention too much, but I guess a lot of the users are screaming about the changes. I'm going to get over there and take a look. I'd love to hear what you guys think about the new changes at Facebook. Have you noticed? Has it changed the way you're using Facebook? Do you like the changes? Do you dislike? Love to hear feedback on this. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. All right. PC World has a pretty good article about some new phone hacking that's going on. We haven't heard about phone hacking in a long, long time. And really, the reason is because most of us, you know, up to, you know, recent years have had a copper phone line. It's been pretty secure. You know, if someone wanted to break in, they actually come out to your, you know, they had to tap you at either the junction point or, you know, outside on your house. And there really wasn't a lot of internet fraud going on with our phones. But because so many people are moving into voice IP systems and specifically using Asterisk systems, this seems to be the new frontier for cyber criminals launching essentially campaigns against customers of those companies that are using these virtual phone systems. Specifically banks that are using voice IP services Criminals are basically hacking into their Asterisk phone systems, making calls that it appears to come from a bank telephone number, calling customers and telling them that there's a billing error and warning them about bank account has been suspended because of suspicious activity, and then asking the customer to enter, you know, specific information into the phone, either an ATM password or something like that, or ask for, you know, basically using the company's own phone lines against them. So voice IP hacking is really the new frontier in cyber criminals activity. So those of you with Asterisk voice IP servers and other certain ones like that, be very aware here. I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. And really, you know, we talked about setting up an Asterisk system at Raw Voice as a way to basically call in podcasts, but really had never got to it. Makes me wonder if we really want to do that or not. I had to take a shot of water here. I'm a little bit dehydrated still from the flight out, but pretty good article over on /.science in the science department here. Discovery of cancer-proof rodent cells. This is a study that's come out of the University of Rochester, has identified a gene that cancer-proofs cells in rodents. This is a pretty interesting write-up here. They found a gene called P16 in a mole rat that makes the cells claustrophobic, stopping the cells' proliferation when too many of them crowd together, and it basically cuts off runaway growth, which would turn into a tumor before it starts. The effect of the P16 is so pronounced that when researchers mutated the cells to induce a tumor, the cells barely changed, whereas a regular mouse cells became fully cancerous and were this specific rodent called the mole rat was really pretty immune to the effects. So what does this mean? Could be some pretty cool developments in the world of cancer treatment, that's for sure. All right, film studios may be blocking DVD rentals for 1 month. Okay, so you're getting stuff from Netflix, you're getting stuff from Blockbuster, you may be still renting videos from a local rental store. I don't know how many of those are still in existence. I don't think I've seen too many lately. But the LA Times is saying that in an effort to push consumers toward buying more movies, some major film studios are considering a new policy that would block DVDs from being offered for rental until several weeks after going on sale at Walmart or wherever else. I'm sorry, it's not going to work. I'll just wait. I'm not going to go buy it when I can rent it. Why rent it when I can stream it? Why buy it when I can, you know, check it out from Blockbuster or Netflix for however long I want, watch it as many times as I want, and send it back? You know, there's no movies right now in existence that I watch multiple times. I don't. If it comes on HBO or something like that later, yeah, maybe I'll watch it. But I don't have stacks of DVDs. I never have got that. I understand some people are movie fanatics, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't care if it's another week late. Now, Redbox, you know who Redbox is? That's the folks who has those kiosks. You see them at McDonald's and different places, and they don't have them here in Hawaii, but they have them all over the place in the mainland. Redbox is responded by suing the studios. Seeking them to force it to sell its DVDs simultaneously with competitors. Meanwhile, the company is stocking its kiosk with DVDs it can't otherwise attain by buying them from retailers. Woo! Wow, that's amazing. So we'll see what happens with that. Your rights online internet probably couldn't handle a flu pandemic. You're not going to believe this. A report from the General Accounting Office, these are the same people that are going to be figuring out how much the new healthcare bill is going to cost us over the next 20 years, suggested that Homeland Security's job to make sure that the nation's business can flow during a pandemic. In particular, if H1N1 sends workers and school children home in large numbers, the GAO thinks it might be a good idea for ISPs to prioritize traffic, favoring commerce over games to reduce network speeds and possibly shut down high-traffic websites. In other words, no watching YouTube while you're sick. Instead, they want you to work while you're home puking. I don't get this. If you're home from work on sick leave, that doesn't mean you're on surfing the internet. Usually you're going to be in bed sick. At least that's what you're supposed to be, right? I know no one ever calls in sick when they're not sick, right? You know, this winter, there are going to be so many people that are going to be scamming their employers. Oh, I got a little cold. I'm coughing. I think I've got the H1N1. I'm going to stay home today. And they're just going to be on the internet all day. They're saying that many companies are going to keep their operations going by allowing teleworking from home via the internet. Yeah, whatever. To think that they actually said they want ISPs to throttle traffic to popular websites. All right, talked a little bit about Amazon EC2 at the beginning of the show. Amazon EC2 announced today that it's reducing its computing services by as much as 15%. This is big. And they've also added a relational database service to host MySQL databases in the cloud. And I don't fully understand what that means. But this is pretty cool stuff. I'm telling you, when it comes to MySQL and processing power and needing more memory and stuff to take care of all that, Amazon's got some cool stuff going on. And I'll be talking more about that as we move into our process of moving one of our sites off an actual physical server onto the cloud services. We've actually worked with a guy. He actually went through and did some setups for us and got us up to speed on it. So I'm pretty excited what's going on. I really like the 15% drop as well. Most of our stuff is going to remain on hard physical servers, but we'll be moving at least Blueberry and the publishing service onto the cloud because we just need extra juice. Hey, this is going to invoke a little bit of a grin from all of you. Booksellers are claiming that competition and lower prices are bad for consumers. Apparently, a letter sent by the American Booksellers Association, the ABA, to the Justice Department suggests that a book price war between Amazon and Walmart is potentially illegal. They're saying that competition, which results in lower prices of books, is a bad thing. Do we live in America today? Isn't competition good for consumers? It's just like having choice and having three or four retailers that sell the same product. You can work and save money on products. If you're paying retail for stuff today, folks, you're not doing your homework. If you're going to a store and you tell that retailer I can buy this product online for this much and you show them that price, you'd be a surprise how many times the retailer will match the online price and let you take it home today. Now, you're going to still pay the sales tax, but you're going to get the lower price. So competition's good. I don't get it. Well, what it is the ABA is concerned that the prices are going to get so low that the authors aren't going to make no money. Well, I hate to tell you this, but if Amazon and Walmart are doing cutting prices on books, they're still paying whatever they're paying the publishing company for them. It's just a loss leader for them. That's all. It gets you into the store, right? Or gets you on online website. Now, in more craziness about the Olympics, Olympic trademark law insanities. They're saying officials, in other words, Olympic officials, can enter homes and issue $10,000 fines. Huh? You're kidding, right? Now, this is going on up in Vancouver. So our Canadian listeners, check this out. There's new special bylaws that let officers, I guess it's not Olympics officials, it let officers enter homes to remove unapproved signage, while also granting them the ability to issue fines up to $10,000 or 10,000 Canadian. Can you believe this? All right, you're in Vancouver. The Olympics are coming to Vancouver, right? You're proud that the Olympics are there. You put a sign in your window that says, welcome athletes or whatever, and you have the Olympic symbols on it or any type of their trademark stuff. They're going to come to your house, knock on your door, take the sign down, and issue a fine up to $10,000. The folks at the Olympic Committee have simply lost their mind. Now, our favorite group, the RIAA, they're supporting net neutrality just as long as it includes the ability for ISPs to block file sharing. Need I say more? Hey, Mark Cuban's got a great article about the DVR versus internet video. And it kind of goes along with the conversation I had at the beginning of the show talking about the Roku and being able to consume new media on a device that makes it easier to consume content. I'd love to have you guys read this article that he's written here about the DVR versus internet video. I'd love to hear your feedback on this. A little bit of sarcasm in some of his comments. Some of it's a little snarky, but he's really, in a way, basically telling the cable companies and those that are creating content, hey, it's the DVRs are changing the way people consume content, and that's not going to change. You're going to have to come up with a better business model. So I have that link up there for you to read. You know all these rich guys, they're always the rich are getting richer. It seems like so many of them are getting caught up in insider trading and all sorts of monkey business with the stock market. Well, ex-AMD chief Hector Ruiz is caught up on insider trading scandal. And, he for a while earned the highest CEO salary in the semiconductor industry. As his company's stock dropped, its products dragged and fortunes sank. But the man didn't stop there. According to Engadget, it turns out he was also involved in a little insider trading on the side. So he was making big money, getting all kinds of bonuses, and yet was trying to make more money by doing a little illegal insider trading. That's why our 401ks or 201ks, throw these folks in jail. All right, the Droid, the new Droid phone by Verizon, which is popping tomorrow. Lots of videos online about it. Not too much surprises on this device. If any of you pick up a Droid from HTC, love to hear you guys' comments about it. Or if you pick up a Motorola as well, let me know. Of course, the Droid runs on the Android operating system. A little bit of a runny nose tonight, so maybe I'm coming down with the H1N1. All right, over on Engadget, U.S. government lays out cash for wall-based in-home smart meters. Now, we bailed out the car companies. We bailed out all the hedge funds. We bailed out everyone else in the country. Well, now they announced $3.4 billion in cash that's going to go to the smart grid, where every home in America, or actually 40 million homes, are going to get home energy monitors. They're going to tell you how much energy you're using on a daily basis, how many kilowatts you're burning through. So we'll see how many of these we're going to get out. But $3.4 billion, some of that's going to set aside for those of us that they're going to be installing these in our homes in certain places. I can almost guarantee you that these 40 million devices that are going to be installed over the next few years are probably going to go into swanky neighborhoods with multi-million dollar homes. You're not going to be seeing these going into homes that where people actually need them to monitor how much they're spending and how much electricity they're using. There's a little device I have here that measures my kilowatt usage that I've used. It's called Kilowatt. You can actually do a search for it. It's a device that's online, $19 or something like that. and you can actually measure power usage in your home. Got to hurry up here. I'm running long on time. Hey, it's being rumored that Google is secretly working on a free mobile navigation app. And boy, oh boy, would that make a bunch of companies upset. But if you've got an Android phone, you may be getting a free navigation application coming to you soon. Also, Android 2.0 is out. And actually, it's coming. And there's a video on it. I have it linked up in the show notes. There's actually a YouTube video on the new Android 2.0 version. Have that linked for you as well. Don't know when that's actually going to release. It might be tomorrow. I don't know what the actual date is. It's not dated on this article. One of you Android users will get me up to speed. Hey, how many of you are worried about cell phone radiation? Well, I was reading. There's an article over on Wired, and it's in their Gadget Lab section, and they talk about testing different cell phones. And I was pretty blown away here. I know a little bit about electronics. I know a little bit about RF energy. When I read that the iPhone's total radiated power was 12.54 dBm, now that's decibels or reference to 1 milliwatt, plus 12.5 dB, that just blew me away. Folks, that's a little bit of power. And I knew that, you know that phones are transmitting. It has a certain amount of power coming out of them. But when I saw 12.54, I'll give you an idea here how decibels work. When you go from 0 decibels or 0 dB to negative 3 dB, you actually the power is less by 50%. So it's half power for every 3 dB. So when you go from 0 to 3 and from 3 to 6, that's actually a doubling of the power. 3 to 6, 6 to 9, 9 to 12. So, you know, you really had four steps of power going up. And when you're talking about, you know, radars and that type of stuff, they put out, you know, huge amount of power. But, you know, 12.54 dBm is still, in my opinion, a considerable amount of power. And I'm glad I'm using a hands-free device after reading this. And many phones have about the same amount of power out as well. I just had never equated it to an actual dB level. And I should have knew better. But, hey, don't put your phone by your head. Google Voice Blog. Hey, Google Voice with your existing number. If you've got an existing telephone number and you want to tie it to Google Voice, you can now do so. They describe it in the blog post on what's going to happen. But when I went over to Google Voice, I couldn't actually find what they were talking about. So I don't know if that's being rolled out to everyone yet. But if you have a Google Voice account, you can use it with your existing number. Actually, that's the number you give out, and people will actually dial into Google Voice versus your phone. You talk about applications. It appears that eBay is predicting that shoppers are going to spend $400 million on eBay this year using its iPhone app. I've got the eBay app loaded on my iPhone. Haven't used it yet. Have you guys used it? I haven't. Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Now, as we all know, the internet speed in the United States is completely lagging. And we're a national average of 4.8 megabits per second, where Japan is now up to 61, Korea is at 46, Finland is at 22, Sweden is at 18.2, and France is at 12.6. And the cost differential, if I'm looking here at how do they actually work this? Well, they don't actually show. I don't know if it's a per gig cost or what, but you guys can look at the – I actually have this up in the show notes. You guys can actually take a look at this chart. We pay a lot as compared to a lot of other countries. Mexico is very expensive. Areas within the Middle East are as well very expensive. Of course, Japan and Korea, very cheap for the speed. I guess they break it down in a price per month for 1 megabit. So in Japan, they pay 27 cents for 1 megabit. In the United States, we pay $5.15 per meg. So that gives you an idea here on the differentials. So anyway, I have a link up to this in the show notes. You guys can check it out. All right, last actual article tonight. Study reveals more details about the iPhone mom. Pretty interesting that a huge number of moms are using the iPhone. You know, it should be expected. And it's, I think my wife's just like this. They let the kids use the phone. Moms are buying apps for the kids to play on the phone. Moms are using the phone to track purchases, find stores that they want to shop at, and track coupons and so forth. So lots of good information here for advertisers, for moms using their iPhones and the value they're getting out of it. Let me go ahead and get right into the email comments. Otherwise, I'm going to run super long here. And I don't know how many I got. Let's see, did we load them all? Okay. Got an email from Carl. He said, hey, take a look at this story. Maybe something for the show. Keep up the great work. He sent this via Twitter. It's a it's an article on Linux Magazine about Firefox 3.6, and it's entitled Learns WOFF. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. I think that's about a media format. So I think, hey, that was a great way to send that, Carl. Send your direct message me, folks, on Twitter. My Twitter account is Geek News. If you've got something you want me to share on the show, that was a great way to do that. Got an email from Nir. He's in Israel. He said, Todd, a few years back, you mentioned MediaMax in your show. I looked them up and uploaded some files with them for safekeeping. Last week, I tried to check on my safekeeping and could not find anything. The MediaMax site has links to iDrive and iBackup, so I checked with their iDrive support whether they can help me. The response I received was they are not associated with MediaMax in any way. Do you or any of your listeners have any idea what happened to MediaMax? I don't know. We'll see if we can find out near. I got an email from Trucker Tom talking about mobile use exposed to brain tumors. He's got a link about a UK article talking about mobile phones. Got one here from Trucker Tom talking about Japanese firms develop small nuclear reactors. This is kind of an interesting development. And what else? We talk about Australia paying significantly more for Windows 7. And what else? Yeah, and the singing song thing in Scotland. So we already talked about that. So thanks, everybody, for their emails here. Let me go ahead and get right into the voicemail comment that we had.
Hey, Todd. This is Mark Schneider down in sunny Loma Mar, California. I just wanted to let you know a little experience I had on the Windows 7 upgrade. Worked really well. I used the Windows 7 Pro 64-bit to upgrade my Windows Vista Ultimate machine. I put the disk in, booted from it, selected advanced options, formatted my C drive. I already had everything backed up, of course, and did a clean install. So the big question that was going around before anybody got a hold of the upgrade media was whether or not you could do a clean install, and in fact you can. It worked no problem. Activated first time, first try, no problems, and it works great. So really enjoy the show. Have a great day. Bye.
Hey, thanks for your feedback on what happened with your Windows 7 upgrade. It was good. How long did it take? How long did your upgrade take? How many hours? Love to hear that as well. So everyone, let me know how your Windows 7 stuff is going. Love to hear your feedback on that. Horror stories included. Also, hey, again, next show is going to be our Halloween show. Have a few UFO stories, a few ghost stories as well. So we'll be talking about that on the next show. So send in those voicemails on your experiences as well. +1-619-342-7365. Email to the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, folks, apologize for being a day late here with the show. We'll get right back on track with the show. Be back with you Thursday night to do the show for a Friday morning release. And, hey, keep your iTunes app set to download all shows. If not, you may miss a show, okay? So go in there in settings and get that set up to download all shows. You can do that on individual podcasts in the settings section. Definitely appreciate that for you to do that. Hey, folks, again, my pleasure to bring you the show. It's been a lot of fun. Everyone take care. We'll see you on Thursday. Have a great week. Take care and aloha.